go take out your Bibles and open up to Proverbs 31. We're going to start there in just a few moments. The study that we start tonight, Lord willing, we'll finish up next week. And the reason that we're calling it the ABCs of an Excellent Wife is because we're about to read some Hebrew poetry. In the verses that run in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, it's 22 verses long. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It's written as an acrostic. An acrostic is just some kind of little abbreviation where each letter stands for a word. We might use, in here, we might say the NASB, which means the New American Standard Bible. We might say the KJV, which means the King James Version. And throughout these 31 verses, it's an alphabetical listing. Verse 20 is going to be with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 11 is going to be the second letter, and it's going to go all the way down to the last letter in verse 31. Now, here's what's difficult. As we go through, some of the words that are the alphabetical words within the original language come first, but as they're translated, they're not always the first word in the English. So every time we go through the verse, I'll point out which word is the alphabetical word, and you'll see, I think, why these words were chosen. And they're what everything is kind of spotted around, is this idea. Now, here's something else that we need to see. As going through and talking about excellent wives, this is quite interesting to me. Look back at verse 1 of Proverbs 31. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him." So notice, where did the king get his teaching? His mother. So whenever we're going to go through these, I almost wonder if perhaps this is something that maybe she wrote or something that she had him memorize. I don't know. But apparently it's something that she ingrained in her son. And so really it seems like we're really getting, if you want to think of it this way, even though it's inspired word of God, it's almost a woman's point of view. This is a woman's view, inspired, about what an excellent wife is like. What is she like? So I know so often I get tired of hearing, oh man, this thing's going to be slanted or something. It's not that at all. If you look through here, it's interesting. It says in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find? The question is, here's his mother, who is a wife, and she's the one who's asking the question. Who can find an excellent wife? It's almost like she's looking around all of her peers, the fellow women, and saying, who can find an excellent wife? So many of them have gone after what they wanted and not what Jehovah wants. Now, there's also an interesting thing here that's going on. In Proverbs 1:8, Solomon writes, he says, basically, hear your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's instruction. Apparently, King Lemuel has not forgotten. In chapter 6, verse 20, it makes even almost a word-for-word statement of the same thing, of saying, remember what your mother taught you. Here's another little side note about the king. We know nothing whatsoever about him. I mean nothing. You can waste the next week of your life, like I wasted a day or two of mine, trying to find out more about who this fella is. His name does not show up anywhere else in the scriptures. Even trying to find history, you don't find anything. So we kind of have to leave that behind us and to go, okay, here it is, and it's laid out. Now, looking at verse 10, the first word that is, and it's the alphabetical word, is the word wife or woman. So there's your A word, if you want to think of it that way. It says, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. To think of a woman looking among her own peers and she says, where is she? They're not in every house. So right off the bat, you know that this is not a common thing. Don't expect to find an excellent wife in every household. They're going to have to go after this. This is the way she is. Then the second alphabetical letter in verse 11 is the word trust. What does she trust? Who trusts in her? Look at verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. It's so hard to rebuild trust once it's lost. So notice, what kind of relationship does she have with her husband? Has she ever done anything that makes that trust go by the wayside? It says here, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He says, you know what? I can trust you with whatever task is needed. I can trust you to do what's right. If you notice at the end of verse 11, it says, and he will have no lack of gain. I think of somebody even within the mindset of a home. Having people that you can rely on, having a wife that you can rely on. It's interesting here that the king's mother says right off the bat, she says her husband's going to have to trust in her. It's interesting, almost like the first characteristics to the husband. In one sense, he's going to have to trust her, and at the same time, she's going to have to be somebody who's trustworthy. It says, and he will have no lack of gain. You know what? It'll continue to grow. I don't know if he means physical or spiritual here, but he says there won't be any lack of gain. It'll stand and it'll grow, is the idea. Now, the next alphabetical word in verse 12 is she does. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does him good and not evil. You almost go through and you see these words. What is she doing? What's going on here? She does him good. How many times do wives, once they get away from their husbands and they find somebody else to talk to, do they tell them everything that their husband does wrong? And all of a sudden, his name gets smeared on everything. Here, an excellent wife, she does him good and not evil. Never going to go against him like that. She's only going to do him good. Not anything else will she offer. She'll never go after the evil part. She'll always go after the good. Whether it means in her actions, whether it means in her words, whether it means in the way she deals with other people, it's always good, never evil. You'd almost use another word here. She's pure or holy. Now, notice the rest of this verse, though. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So notice, this is nothing new to an excellent wife. This is something she's been doing ever since she was younger. So think about it, if we want our young ladies to grow into excellent wives, it doesn't wait until later. It starts now. It says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice there's no exception. Good always, every day, without exception. The next alphabetical word in verse 13. She looks. She looks. I know I've gone through my Bible and underlined all these words now. It says she looks. What does she look at? What's she looking for? It just kind of brings up more questions. But it goes, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. If you notice here, she looks for wool and flax. Wool? Well, we're looking at sheep. Flax? Flax is a perennial. It grows year-round. Has a blue blossom to it. Grows about 2 or 3 feet tall. They made linen from it, from the flax. And so to realize, here she is. She's on the lookout. She's seeking after wool and flax. Now we're going to find out a little bit later on as to why. But she's always on the lookout for it. And whenever you start to look through here, she says, and works with her hands in delight. An excellent wife does not mind work. She even takes joy in it. She delights in it. Just think about the word delight. Well, if something really delights you, I mean, you know, it almost like it brings, just the word, saying the word delight almost brings a smile to your face. It's the idea, she doesn't look at work and go, oh no, man, this is going to be terrible. I can't believe I got to go do this. Oh no. She looks at wool and flax. It's almost like you imagine her looking at the animal and looking at the pasture. And it just delights her to think of what she might could do with those things. It delights her to think of working with them. Now, we're going to see why in a minute. Look at verse 14. Here's the next alphabetical word. She is. And that's it. She is. You look through this and they go, well, what is she? What do you mean she is? She's like merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. That's what she does. She's like a merchant ship. Think about this. It almost makes it sound like she's multi-talented. If you can imagine a merchant ship, I don't know that we, even though a river runs through Jeff City, I don't know we call ourselves a port city by any means. But a merchant ship, especially on the Mediterranean and in those areas, they would go from one place to the next. The ships of Tarshish were known as the best sailors around. And they might go all the way from Palestine, all the way over to Spain, going all across the Mediterranean Sea, and they would pick up anything they could that was different that they thought might sell. I mean, the merchants are in it for the money, it seems. And so they might go to one port, and they might have a whole lot of horses, and they might say, well, we'll sell these horses, and we'll pick up some of these ornaments and things. And then they go to the next place, and they say, well, boy, you know, prices are really good if we sell them this, and we get something different in return, maybe even gold or silver. And all of a sudden, whenever it comes around to your town, and the merchant ship comes off and comes to harbor, and they start pouring out all these things, most of which are things you had probably never even seen before. Because they're in other parts of the land that you didn't travel to. Think about this. When somebody travels overseas and they come back and they bring things, you go, man, what? You know, a lot of times the first question is, well, what is that? And then they tell you. And you go, wow, that's kind of neat. That's pretty interesting. Well, you know what she's like, this excellent wife? She knows how to do things. There's something special about it. If you can imagine going down to a merchant ship and just looking around. I know none of our ladies ever go to the mall just to shop around. Maybe that does happen. But to realize, sometimes just going around and looking, you see so many different things. What's new? What's there? And it says, she's like a merchant ship. But there's something else to a merchant ship. It always goes around in the same path. It never deviates. It goes from one place to the next. It almost makes it sound like they're in a cycle. It says, she's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. I mean, here it is. Sometimes it's talking about food specifically here. But to go, it's not always the same. I'm not talking about there has to be a different meal. You know, you don't have it once a month. But to realize there's something special here. It says, an excellent wife, she's like a merchant ship. That's what she is. There's so many good things, just don't know what's coming next. Look at the next verse. Verse 15. The alphabetical word is she rises. It says, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. It says, she rises also while it is still night. The still part is what makes me think we're talking about early in the morning. While it's still night. You wouldn't say right in the evening saying, well, it's still night. It just started. But in the morning, you'd say, even while it's still night, she arises. I mean, it makes it sound like she gets up early. Notice as it continues, it says, and gives food to her household. It talks about her food. She's like a merchant ship. Her food comes from afar. And says, you know what? You know who it's for? It's for her family. It's for her household. She does it for them. It's all about them in one sense. He says, and portions to her maidens. You might have a little footnote on portions. It may say, prescribed tasks. I mean, she's got things laid out. She has a plan. It's not just a fly-by-night deal. She's aimed on where she's headed. She knows where she's going. And she says, all right, she's got servants, maidens. She says, all right, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. Here's what's laid out for you. And it's all to work together. Here's how it goes. Now, look at verse 16. The alphabetical word is she considers or she examines. Well, what does she consider or examine? She considers the field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's thinking about a field. I mean, think about that. I mean, usually I kind of think of men are the ones who always want land. But here she is. She looks at it. She says, I'm considering that land there. I want to buy it. And realize, here she is. And notice, she says, and she does buy it. Look at what she does with it. She doesn't just do it to say, well, you know what, I got 40 acres. Notice what she does with it. She considers the field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's got some kind of earnings. And notice what she does with her earnings. She doesn't say, well, I'm just going to go spend it all on me. She says, I'm going to plant a vineyard. I'm going to do more work. Remember, her hands delight to be worked with. She says here, I mean, boy, you really get an idea as it goes through. It says, from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Whenever she's making money, who is she going after here? It's not all about her. I don't know if you've ever had in a men any conversations with your wives about what they want for a special day or something along those lines, or for a holiday that comes up. How many times do you hear a woman say, these are always the scary times for me, I want something to help me in the kitchen. Now before you laugh, think about it. I want a new appliance. We need a new washing machine or a new dryer. Is this really going to benefit her all that much? Is this some special trophy she's going to get? I normally don't think so. Normally those are the scary gifts I've heard of. You want to make sure she wants it before you give it to her. But to go, says, you know what? She's got her earnings. She considers a field because she wants to plant a vineyard. She wants to work with her hands. It's back to family again. It's not about self. She doesn't say, hey, go get me some new clothes. That's not part of this idea. She says, even the money that I've worked hard to earn, I want to do it to something that gives back. That's not just self-centered. Look at the next verse. Verse 17. The alphabetical word is she girds. Well, what does she gird? She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Girds, it's an idea of being prepared, being ready. They used it in Roman times to say that whenever they had these long togas on, that they would pick up the hem and kind of raise them up so they could run, so they wouldn't be tripped up. Here, to think about her, she girds herself with strength. I mean, she's really going to rely on the Lord here. Says, and even her arms are strong. Notice she's not afraid of work. That doesn't scare her. That's her delight. Now, notice as it continues into verse 18. It says, the alphabetical word is she senses or she tastes. It says she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She has a sense of what's good. She tastes it, is the way different translations read it. It says, here it is. She tastes it. What she's doing is good. Because it's not all about her. It's about the rest. Now, notice as it continues here, it says, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Now, I think on the surface we say her lamp doesn't go out at night. Oh, well, she stays up late. Boy, you're talking about burning both ends of the candle. Found out she's getting up early, staying up late, but I'm not quite sure that's the idea here. If you notice, it says her lamp does not go out at night. Remember the story in Matthew 25 about the five foolish virgins and the five wise? Five of them come and they bring the extra oil. Five of them don't bring any oil with them in addition to what they have in their lamp. And guess what happens to their lamp because of their lack of prudence? They have to leave to go get more. there were five whose lamps didn't go out because they had prudence. They could look ahead. An excellent wife has prudence. Even talks about throughout the rest of Proverbs that a prudent wife is from the Lord. Well, I would say the Lord gives good gifts. Now, think about this into the next verse, verse 19. The alphabetical word here is hands. Her hands. Look at what it says. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Here's what she's doing. The distaff is a staff that's used to hold the wool or the flax. Now, you remember those from before, back in verse 13? She's on the lookout for them. You ever wondered why? I know I'm not on the lookout for wool and flax. She is, because she's got a plan. She's going to do something with them if she can find them. She's going to take them and she's going to use the spindle. She's going to turn into something that she can sew with. Now, any guesses on who she's going to sew for? We won't cover it tonight, but the answer is down in verse 21. But if you look back at verse 19, it says, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Now, that second word, hands, is really the word palms. And it's going to show up again. Look at the next verse in verse 20. And the alphabetical word here is the first word, hand. But it's really the word palm. The palm of your hand. It says, she extends her palms to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Notice, is it all about her? She says, you know what? I've worked hard for these things. I have, with my own sweat, you almost get the idea. She says, but you know what? I'm going to take care of my family. She says, and I'm even going to help the needy or the poor. So she stretches out her palms. Think about that. She says, I'm ready to help. I'm going to consider you as more important than me. Now, as we said before, we're not going to cover all these verses tonight. But I want you to consider one thought that is kind of a thought that runs through all 11 of these verses that we've already covered. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 3. In looking at an excellent wife, and to see the king's mother saying, who can find one? I think we start to get an idea why. She is not self-centered at all. She really has no concern for self. She's concerned about her children. She's concerned about the poor. She's concerned about her husband. Did you see anything in there that was self-centered? She seeks for wool and flax so that she can sew with them with her own hands. She delights in finding them in work. She does good to her husband, only good, no evil. There's a thought here that ties it, in my mind, directly to Jesus. Because we're going to know that an excellent wife is going to come from the Lord. So the Lord's going to be the one who she's going to look up to. Look here in Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Here's an excellent wife. It's a good attribute for an excellent husband, too. Not about self. You want to know what'll keep you from doing all those first 11 verses? Think about it. Does her husband good, not evil. Becomes self-centered. I want this to be a pity party for me. Let me tell you all the bad things my husband's ever done to me. You know what? I don't want to work. We're not talking about people who don't have the ability to. We're talking about people who will not. I don't want to work. I take no delight in that whatsoever. Who's it all considered about? Self. I don't want to get up early. I don't want to help. I don't want to... A lot of eyes, isn't it? He here you get this idea. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Self-centered, empty conceit, it's all about me. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I went through today? Don't you know what I've been going through? It's all about self. He says, don't do anything from those things. Better put those off. He says, but with humility of your mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Here's this woman, this excellent wife. She puts family above herself, husband above herself, and even the needy above herself. She is not consumed with self at any point. He says, let her regard one another as more important than yourselves. Verse 4, not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Not self. Verse 5, where in the world is an excellent wife going to learn that from? Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. It says, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. To imagine, here's a parallel to me with excellent wives. Maybe this young girl came from a home where she was the only child. She was given everything that she ever wanted. And now she's made a vow to be a wife. Time to be an excellent wife. You won't get what you want always anymore. Sometimes we bring in those ideas into it, though. It says, you know what? You may have had everything at your grasp at one point, but we need to let that go. It's time to fear the Lord. And we're going to get to some of that next week, Lord willing, in the rest of those verses. But to see, have this attitude in yourself. Notice what she's going to have to do, verse 7. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. To be an excellent wife, we're going to have to empty ourselves. Can't be about me. Then in verse 8, it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How many times are excellent wives asked to sacrifice? If they're concerned about self, they'll never give it up. If they're concerned about the Lord, they'll freely give it up. To put the family, the husband, even the poor ahead of herself. And you can see that mindset come perfectly from Jesus, because he was exactly the same way in attitude. Notice what he got as an end result, verse 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. He's given a name above every name. What about a wife who's selfless? She'll be an excellent wife. Won't be common like the rest, like the king's mother. Who can find one? Gonna have to find one who's not concerned about self. That's what's needed. Lord willing, next week we'll come back. We'll cover the last 11 of the alphabet. If there's anyone here tonight, if we can be of any aid, will you?